This morning we're in Exodus 19 and 20, and we got two chapters, so, and we got communion. So the storm may get here before he's looking at me now. It may get here before we get through. I don't know, but we'll get through and we'll get somewhere as quickly as we can. We're going to kind of do my best to narrow it down. But folks, I want you to think about, we're on the children. Well, first of all, I want to thank Chad, wherever Chad's at, for last week. He done a wonderful job, and we want to give Chad that's for sure. And I don't see him, but anyway, I can't find everybody. Yeah, I see him. Okay. But anyway, after following Chad, it's going to be pretty tough, but we'll give it a shot. But we know that the Israelites have arrived in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is a place where it has always been a place that a lot of things has happened in the life of the Israelites. And so we know that Jacob was in this area when he, was spoken to. God has used this to speak to lots of people. But we know that Moses was spoken to first at the burning bush. And, you know, Moses, he was shepherding at that time. He didn't expect God to speak to him. He didn't expect God to ask him to do anything. He didn't figure that he was even capable of doing anything. But God asked him to lead his people out of Egypt. And so we know that that's what he ended up doing. Aaron ended up helping him. And so we know that through the two, it was the mission was completed. Now, Brian said the other day, and at the end of his message, that, you know, it was 40 days getting the Israelites out of Egypt, and it was 40 years getting Egypt out of the Israelites. And that's a whole lot of truth to that, folks. It's been a while that they've had to go through what they've been going through. And so we're at the foot of this mountain at Mount Sinai. And I want you to stop and think. God is going to speak to Moses. We are having communion today. We're having the opportunity to share the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. We have that opportunity because of Jesus Christ. He didn't have this opportunity. So in a way, God is communing with Moses here at the foot of the mountain. And he's talking to him. So it starts out kind of with this happening, that God is communing with Moses. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you were to obey me and keep my commandments," you hear this? "Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the people on earth. For all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." You see, God's communicating with Moses. So he says, "So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, 'We will do everything the Lord has commanded.' So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so the people themselves can hear me when I speak with you. Then they will always trust you.' Moses told the Lord what the people has said. Then the Lord told Moses, "Go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day. For on that day the Lord will come." For on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch. Mark off a boundary all around the mountain. Warn the people, be careful. Do not go up on the mountain or even touch its boundaries. Anyone who touches the mountain will certainly be put to death. No hand may touch the person or animal that crosses the boundary. Instead, stone them or shoot them with arrows. They must be put to death. However, when the ram's horns sound a long blast, then the people may go up on the mountain. So Moses went down to the people. He consecrated them for worship, and they washed their clothes. And he told them, "Get ready for the third day, and until then, abstain from having sexual intercourse." And on the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on the top of the Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Then the Lord told Moses, "Go back down and warn the people not to break through the boundaries to see the Lord, or they will die. Even the priests who regularly come near to the Lord must purify themselves so that the Lord does not break out and destroy them." But Lord, Moses protested. You know, you hear that, folks? But Moses protested. "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. You already warned us. You told me, mark off a boundary all around the mountain to set it apart as holy. But the Lord said, go down and bring Aaron back up with you. In the meantime, do not let the priest or the people break through to approach the Lord, or he will break out and destroy them." So Moses went down to the people and told them what the Lord had said. We're going to stop right there until we get to 20, and we'll back up and look at it. This is the reading of God's Word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as we look at how God was talking to Moses and communicating with Moses, and we see that on the mountain that God had told Moses, he got to come up the mountain. I want to talk to you, Moses. And so he went up on Mount Sinai. And God gave him these instructions. He began to set the stage for him giving him the Ten Commandments. We see this as he says, "Now, go back and tell the people, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the people on earth. If you will obey." You know, folks, God asked us to be in covenant with him. He asked us to be, first of all, what is a covenant? A covenant's like a contract. A covenant's like when JT worked at the bank, and I go up there and say, "JT, I need $500. He say, "Okay, you now $500. If you give me $750 back, I'm gonna give him some extra, because it's not gonna be $500 when I go to pay him back. It's gonna be a lot more because JT needs groceries and the bank needs some money." So it's a contract or a covenant is something we usually think about in the world we live in today as somebody benefiting from it. Somebody, it's going to be a two-way deal. I'm going to get my $500, but in doing so, I'm going to give back more than I've got. So it's a two-way proposition. I want you to think about something, folks. Here we see God offering a covenant to the people of Israel. Here we see him. What's he getting back? What's God going to get back? I mean, why would he even want a covenant with them? He's not doing anything. They're not doing anything for him. If they will covenant with me, he says, they will be my own special treasure from among all the people of the earth. He says, because the earth belongs to me. The whole earth belongs to me. But they're going to be my special people. He's not asking for anything back except for them to love him, have a relationship with him. That's all he's wanting, is for us, the people that we are today, to love him and to know that he sent his son Jesus to die for our sin. That's all he's asking. He doesn't ask for any grocery money. He doesn't ask for any light bill money. He doesn't ask for anything. He says, you know, if you can and would like to, give back to me and I will bless it. But he doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't need us, folks. He's here for us. And so here we see that he is saying to the people, so Moses, he comes and returns to the mountain, and he called together all the elders and the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded. And the people responded by what? We will do everything the Lord has commanded. Have we ever heard that before? We will do everything the Lord has commanded, but we won't. We won't. Why do we even say we will? Because we don't. We don't ever do what we could or supposed to do. We do things our way. We do things the way that we think that they should be done, not the way that God wants them done. And so he said, they said to God, we will do everything that the Lord has commanded. And so Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. But then the Lord said, okay, I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses. I'm going to be coming down the mountain. I want you to go back, and I want you to consecrate these people. Get them ready for my appearance. Now, he said, tell them to wash their clothes. What do you mean, wash their clothes? Are they nasty? Wash their clothes? You know? No, folks. What he was saying was, I want you to go, Moses, and tell them, wash their clothes as a symbol of washing their heart. They need to get their heart right with God before I come. They need to know that it's me coming. They need to know what to be prepared for. And so that's what Moses done. He went back, he told the people, and he laid off a boundary around the mountain that they could not cross. He says, folks, you cannot cross this boundary. God is covering us with a cloud, with smoke, or with a cloud of some kind. And he says, no matter what happens, you cannot cross this boundary. And we see this is what he done. He stood at they was at the foot of the mountain, and they were covered. It said, all of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. They said the smoke billowed, and it was like it was coming out of a brick kiln. And the whole mountain shook violently, and the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Folks, this is probably the best sermon that's ever been preached. You ever seen the mountains quake and the mountains be filled with smoke with God on top of them? We can preach on Sunday morning. We can do anything and everything that we can to tell you about God. But from right here, he is saying, Moses, I'm fixing to show you. You talk to these people, and I'm going to back you up with this loud trumpet of a voice. But the people, they would not like this at the end. They said, The Lord came down on top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. And then the Lord told Moses, go back down and warn the people not to break through the boundaries to see the Lord, or they will die. He said, even the priests who regularly come near the Lord must purify themselves so that the Lord does not break out and destroy them. He's telling Moses, he says, Moses, I will destroy all of these people that you've been messing, you've had to fool with all this time. I will destroy every one of them if they break through and try to come up this mountain. It's not going to happen, Moses. And so Moses, as we say, we see in 23rd verse, he protested to the Lord. I done told them, Lord. I've already told these people. He'd argue with the signpost, wouldn't he? That's what Daddy used to say. You'd argue with the signpost, dude. You know, that's the way it is. I done told them once. You want me to tell them again? Yes, I want them to understand that if they happen to do what they want to do, it's going to cost them their lives. So Moses went and he told the people at the end of the 19th chapter. The 20th chapter says, then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. Now he's fixing to give them these commandments. The first four is God's relationship, man's relationship with God. The next six is man's relationship with man. So when you hear these, you think about that. You must, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. Okay? Relationship of man and God. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse His name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day, is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. And on that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male or female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. And that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. And when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. Don't be afraid, Moses answered them, for God has come in this way to test you, and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was, and the Lord said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, you saw for yourselves that I spoke to you from heaven. Remember, you must make You must not make any idols of silver or gold to rival me. Build for me an altar made of earth, and offer your sacrifices to me, your burnt offerings and peace offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Build my altar wherever I cause my name to be remembered, and I will come to you and bless you. If you use stones to build my altar, use only natural, uncut stones. Do not shape the stones with a tool, for that would make the altar unfit for holy use. And do not approach my altar by going up steps. If you do, someone might look up under your clothing and see your nakedness. Folks, as we see what God is speaking to Moses, he is giving him these commandments. He is telling them, you need to take these commandments to these people. And that when he does, and he tells them what God has given them, they said, Moses, please don't let God speak to us anymore. We're going to die. This is the most frightening thing that we've ever encountered, is God speaking back to us. It's so loud, it's going to kill us. And they were trembling with fear. They had witnessed something that they never even dreamed that they would hear. And they knew that they didn't like it. Folks, has God ever spoken to you in a way that you didn't like? Has he ever nudged you to do something you didn't like? I hope he has. Because that's when you have a relationship with your Lord. That's when he is real. And as he give us the commandments, he gave these commandments, four of them, between him and man. And six of them between man and man. It's very important, folks. Very important that we love each other. It's very important that we love our Lord and Savior. He tells us the greatest commandment, ask Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So that pretty much summed it up, didn't it? That summed up the Ten Commandments. But everybody says, well, that's the Ten Commandments. That's the Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us today. Well, doesn't it? Jesus said, Matthew 5:17, he said, I didn't come to destroy it. I just came to fulfill it. So if you look at what the commandments are actually saying, it says, you must not have any other God before me. And Jesus says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. That's Matthew 4:10. The fourth verse says, you must not make for yourself an idol. And Jesus said in Luke 16:13, no one can serve two masters. Exodus 27, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Matthew 5:34 says, do not make, and this is Jesus, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Exodus 20:8 says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And Jesus says in Mark 2:27-28, he said, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. The 12th verse says, honor your father and mother. Matthew 10:37, Jesus says, if you love your father and mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Exodus 20:13 says, you must not murder. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:22, if you are even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. Exodus 20:14 says, you must not commit adultery. Jesus says in Matthew 5:28, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In the 15th verse, it says, you must not steal. Matthew 5:40 says, if you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. Also, Exodus 16 says, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. And the last one was verse 17, you must not covet. And Jesus says in Luke 12:15, guard against every kind of greed. You see, folks, we think that the Ten Commandments were the Old Testament. We think that they were not applying to us today. I hear this all the time. You can't live by the Old Testament. It's not law anymore. It's not. But Jesus was saying, if you love your neighbor, this is how you will live. This is what you will do. If you have a relationship with the man beside you that's living beside you, this is how you will treat him. If you have a relationship with anyone outside of God, then this is how you should be living. If he sues you and he wins your shirt, give him your coat also. Don't just stop with your shirt. Give him more. And folks, as we stop and we think about what God has given to us, he's given us more every time. Every time he's always given us more. And what did he ask for back? For us to love him. For us to enter into a covenant with him. For us to be willing to have this love in our hearts and to show it to others. Show it so that others will know that we love Jesus. Do we do that? How well do we do that each and every week? Do people see Jesus in you? Or do people see maybe the devil in you? I mean, it's pretty easy sometimes to see the devil in me. Because sometimes I get pretty aggravated. So I have to stop. And I have to ask the Lord to forgive me. And that brings us to the table today, Lord, folks. The Lord's table. This table is his table. It's not Grace Life's table. This table is a table that he offers to us. Today, as we come to this table, I hope that our hearts are deserving to take this table. If it's not, if you have something in your heart that you don't feel comfortable with, then I would say that you need to work that out between you and the Lord and then take communion next month. So, folks, we need to know that Jesus tells us if we have anything that's in our hearts, we need to come clean with that. We need to bring it to him and then be ready to take communion when it's offered. So the table is the Lord's table. We offer prayer this morning over this table. And I'd like for us to end with the Lord's Prayer. So if you would, repeat the Lord's Prayer with me at the end. Well, Father, we come this morning as we come to the table. We come just knowing that our hearts are never as clean and pure as they should be. Father, we know that things are always something in our life that causes us to think of things that we should not think of. You give us these commandments, Lord. You give Moses the commandments for the people. And yet we know that Jesus had to explain them when he was here. And so, Father, we pray today that you forgive each and every one of us. We ask now, Lord, that you will strengthen us as we come to this table to be able to reflect upon you and reflect upon our neighbor. So, Father, we come thanking you so much for giving us the prayer that you taught us through your Son, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.